From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, as Texas ramps up for the 2020 political primaries and then the general election, we hear from both the Texas Republican and Democratic Party chairmen. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The 2020 election season began on November 9th in Texas with the opening of the candidate filing window. The incumbents and hopeful giant slayers have until December 9th to claim their spot on the primary ballots. It's also the last day for independent candidates to file their declaration of intent to run. Primary day is March 3rd, Super Tuesday, and while all eyes that day will be on the posse of Democratic candidates running for the presidential nomination, there will be a flurry of activity down ballot for Democrats. The primary victors will then move on to the general election, which is Tuesday, November the 3rd, and again, the presidential contest will be the main event, and down ballot, Texans will be making choices that could shape history. For the U.S. Senate race, the Texas House of Representatives and Senate, judgeships in county offices across the state. How everything will unfold is largely up to the two chairmen of the two major parties in Texas. It's their job to recruit candidates, raise money, hire and train party staff, energize the base, grow the grassroots, define the party's message and brand, and then emerge, hopefully victorious, on Election Day. We're going to hear from both Republican Chairman James Dickey and Democratic Chairman Gilberto Hinojosa. Both are optimistic about the upcoming elections. First up, Chairman Dickey. He says the Republican Party in Texas is on red alert.
So at the Republican Party of Texas, we are doing more for this election cycle than the party has done in Texas in decades. So the message is called Red Alert Texas because that's the appropriate attitude I want people to have. I get asked frequently, is there a chance Texas could flip? And the answer, of course, is it could if Republicans take too much for granted, take voters for granted, and don't do the work necessary to spread our message and make our case. And so the point of the Red Alert presentation is to make sure that no one does that, that no one is overly complacent, and no one takes for granted any vote ever.
The issue of Texas turning blue, it seems like there's a lot of momentum behind the Democrats, and they are activating parts of Texas which have been pretty dormant for them. And here you are as the chair of the Republican Party of Texas, and how are you going to counter that?
Well, the narrative from the Democrat side was exactly the same back in 2014, and in the 2014 election, Senator Cornyn ended up winning that U.S. Senate race by 27 points. So I'm not at all concerned about the Democrats repeatedly trying to spread the same narrative. Also not surprised by the results of last year's election because it was a result of hard work done by volunteers and staff on the Democrat side, starting from their power bases of the urban core and working out to the next nearest areas. What has changed is that as a result of the 2018 election, I no longer face the kind of complacency that I was facing a year ago when I was warning people that if we did not put the resources in necessary and the effort in necessary, that results like we saw in 2018 were possible in Texas.
So we've heard the phrase woke, you know, used by the progressives. So is there a conservative version of woke, and is that happening in Texas?
I would say a conservative version of awakened.
Okay. All right. So as I understand it, that you're raising money, quite a bit of money, and that you're hiring full-time professional people who know how to run campaigns. In the previous statewide election, what we had, what, 8 full-timers, and now you're looking at 150?
Correct. And so we are doing work at the level as we once did when we had the drive to flip Texas. we have that much drive now to defend Texas and to fight for Texas.
And one strategy that you're looking at is that you're going through the data using very high-tech, high-skilled individuals, looking for people who identify as Republicans but yet have been very good about getting out and voting, and you're going to try to activate them?
Absolutely. So that's one of the unique things that the party can, should, and must do that individual candidates cannot really do, which is take a deep dive on a longer-term mission of recruiting volunteers by the tens of thousands from all over the state, and working with those volunteers to recruit and persuade and activate voters that have not previously been reached.
Now, you are facing some headwinds, clearly, with, I don't know, how do you describe the way that some people view President Donald Trump? I mean, he's a divisive individual.
Folks who take strong stands and bold positions inevitably also draw opposition.
And so you think that's what's happening in Texas? That
No, not necessarily. There are significant issues with all of the polling that shows that the president has a challenge in Texas have fundamental flaws in their construct, whether it's registered voters versus likely voters or general population versus likely voters. So I am not inclined to take that as those polls as persuasive. The clear case from 2018 was a volunteer workforce based in urban areas, empowered with significant funds from outside Texas, used in the next nearest areas.
And another area that some people think that the Republican Party has a uphill struggle with in this upcoming election is that the grassroots conservatives may not be as excited this go around as they have been because of the way they felt that the last legislative session turned out. And you have people who are saying that, including Colonel Alan West, who has made it clear that he is challenging you for the chair of the Republican Party of Texas.
Obviously, one of the challenges all elected officials need to face is to both grow their support among their base and expand their support outside their base. That is a challenge that elected officials have to face consistently, and Texas Republicans have been better than most at doing that, and I'm confident they will continue to do so.
Colonel West, what's his gripe? I mean, here you are, you're raising money, you're finding candidates, you're supporting, and you're not allowed to really get in the middle of primary fights.
Yeah, we are setting records on fundraising, we are setting records on team building and staff building, and operational excellence. We are being bold with our fights for our agenda during the legislative session. I cannot imagine why anyone would think it would be a great idea to change up leadership in the very middle of the battle for 2020.
There are people who say that the Republican Party of Texas has alienated certain demographics. It's probably not a good idea given demographic trending, specifically when it comes to Latinos in Texas. And there's a question, is the GOP alienating Latinos, particularly in the era of Trump and Stephen Miller? Does that make your job harder?
There's little evidence that the Republican Party of Texas does not continue to stand out in its ability to reach and earn the support of Hispanic voters. And we have major initiatives underway currently to grow our staff and candidates and volunteers and votes within the Black, Hispanic, and Asian communities within Texas as we work all across Texas to earn the support of all Texan voters.
And are you doing that by demonstrating commitments to practical issues that these demographics have proven that they care about?
Absolutely. The way we are doing that is by being present and by advocating strongly for policies that improve the everyday life of every Texan. And that's why we've seen the lowest Hispanic unemployment in history, the highest women-owned and minority-owned new business starts in history and in the nation. Texas is a leader on all of those, not coincidentally, and because Texas is strongly led by Republican principles and has been for the last 16 years.
Now, the LGBTQ community typically does not see the Republican Party as some place that they're welcomed. Still, the bathroom issue looms large. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick carried that standard for that and other issues in the past. So is that something that it seems to play well in some areas of Texas and where that are vulnerable to loss of support from Republicans? I mean, like the suburbs. Is that a wrong read?
The false impression voters have gotten is that it is Republicans who are advancing and pressing on social issues. In all cases, social issues have been ones that have been pressed with absurdly extremist positions from the left, and Republicans have felt the need to respond. So, for example, the heartbeat bills that were filed over the last several months across the South were a direct response to a Democrat governor discussing whether or not it would be okay for a baby to be killed while it sat on a table. And the privacy bills that were promoted, including the one in Texas, were a direct response to the Obama administration mandating that schools allow teenage boys to go into teenage girls' locker rooms without limitation. In all cases, those were responses, not proactive actions by Republicans.
Beto O'Rourke had said he wasn't going to run for the U.S. Senate, but also when he was running for U.S. Senate before against Ted Cruz, he said he wouldn't run for president. So we don't know what he's going to do. A lot of people are expecting that he will jump into the race and file as a Democrat for the primary. Does that change things for what the outlook is for Senator John Cornyn?
I do not see how his choices going forward change anything. We have seen Texas voters have seen enough from O'Rourke over the last couple of years to know that he is the worst kind of panderer and ultra-extremist leftist, and that means that regardless of what he does, it will not be a significant factor.
But Senator John Cornyn, clearly I've seen his messaging, and he's not taking this lying down.
Fortunately, all Texas Republicans are taking every challenge seriously in their need to earn the vote of Texas and support of Texas voters for 2020.
The tape that Michael Quinn Sullivan recorded with Speaker Dennis Bonin has been disruptive. Is that going to impact the races in Texas?
I fully expect that Democrats will attempt to make it an issue. I am very skeptical that the average Texas voter a year from now will give what was said in that or any other meeting not related to the exact candidates that they're voting on any weight.
So we had the those gubernatorial races in Louisiana and Kentucky. They were very tight, and the Democrats were able to come away with victories. Does that mean anything for Texas?
In both those cases, it seems pretty clear that the challenges the Republican candidates had there were candidate-specific, which is why it's so important that we have the best possible field of candidates on the ballot in our primary, and that our primary voters send us the best possible candidates for the general election.
James Dickey is the chairman of the Texas Republican Party. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Up next, we hear from Democratic Chairman Gilberto Hinojosa. I asked him how easy or difficult it's been this election season for recruiting candidates to run as Democrats.
More than I've ever seen in the entire time that I've been chair, and then even prior to that time, when we started coming into the wilderness days when we lost all our statewide offices and lost control of the legislature. Now, you know, in the old days, I'd be on the phone trying to get somebody to run for some state rep slot, you know, and usually got no's from people, and occasionally a retired teacher or somebody who didn't want to see a Republican run unopposed would jump in and with no money and do whatever they could, and she came out losing by 20 or 30 points. Now, I mean, we have contested primaries all over the state of Texas in seats held by Republicans. I was up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area during the Labor Day weekend, and where we would have problems finding anybody to run for any of these Republican-held seats. You know, we've got multiple candidates. We'll be having primaries and runoffs in almost every seat that we're trying to flip right now in Texas legislature. The same thing is with congressional seats. We've got multiple candidates running for not just the targeted seats, which are between 6 and 8 seats, but all the seats. We're going to have more than likely contested primaries. In the courts, in the Supreme Court, we have contested primaries in every Texas Supreme Court seat that's up this time around, and every court of criminal seat that's up this time around. And not just, you know, anybody. I mean, we've got sitting judges running for almost every seat on the Supreme Court, and if not every seat in the Supreme Court, and in most of the seats in the Court of Criminal Appeals.
So tell me what that means, that you do not have to beat the bushes to find candidates to run as Democrats in some of these areas that haven't seen a Democrat win in quite some time. Now there are people willing to step up and say, I want to run. What does that actually mean, that this is happening?
Well, that means that people see that Democrats can win in Texas. It's been, you know, The demographics in Texas has changed over the last decade to where now this is a majority-minority state. But our problem has always been in the past that we've had very low turnout in the Latino community, which makes up 40% of the population of the state of Texas. Now we're seeing Latinos coming out in much larger numbers than we've seen in the past for a couple of reasons. One, we've spent a lot of time organizing and engaging the Latino community and registering it. We've had a significant increase in voter turnout in the Latino community. But another two factors that are also new, we've got in certain parts of the state, like in Fort Bend County and Harris County, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we have a large Asian population moving in, Indian Americans, Pakistani Americans, people from the Middle East who have come to the United States or who were born in the United States and become U.S. citizens and have, you know, seen the big difference between the way the Democratic Party treats them and the way the Republican Party sees them. And so they're consistently voting at higher numbers than they've ever had before, and they're voting for Democrats. One of the reasons why Fort Bend County recently turned blue. I mean, we won every countywide seat that we contested, where we didn't have one single countywide elected official in Fort Bend County before 2018. And so that's a product of increased turnout among Democrats, but also the Asian American community. And but there's one additional factor that is a new thing in Texas. It's a large influx of families coming in from the East and West Coast that most or many of which are Democrats who are used to voting as Democrats or whose philosophies in terms of government are more towards the Democratic brand. And so they're moving into the suburbs, they're registering to vote, and they're seeing how the Republican Party has run this state, and they don't like it. You know, people who are, you know, tired of seeing people getting shot with guns and, you know, tired of seeing the Republican Party two-faced position on health care, where on the one hand they claim that they want to protect people from pre-existing conditions, they want to have people who are covered under insurance policies for pre-existing conditions, but at the same time see the Republicans filing lawsuits to throw out these protections that are part of the Obamacare. So these people are turning out in large numbers and electing Democrats.
I spoke to chairman of the Republican Party, your counterpart, James Dickey. He said in the midterm elections that the Democrats were hyper-energized. They had a flood of outside of Texas support, and you were able to mount this incredible, these wins, because the Republican Party was complacent at the time. And he is saying in 2020, things will be different. He is raising more money. He has more boots on the ground, paid professionals, and they are working to identify people who are Republicans but have not been voters and turn them into Republican voters. And he says that they are now awakened to the woke voters of the Democrats.
Well, let me correct him on a couple of points. First of all, the Republican Party has always had much more money than the Democratic Party, like by a lot. This is no different today than it was then. The difference is that we have more money to be able to compete than what we've ever had before. And that simply says that, you know, they'll continue to raise a lot of more money, but we're going to be able to go toe-to-toe with them election procedures or election tactics to be able to get our vote out. With respect to voting, getting more Republicans to turn out, they increased their voter turnout in 2018. They did not have a low voter turnout in 2018. They did better than what they normally do in 2018. We just did better than they did, and that will we believe that will continue to happen in 2020. And finally, you know, their whole argument that they're going to turn people into Republicans is a fallacy. I mean, we're not seeing that anywhere. What we're seeing is a lot of people who, particularly in the suburbs, who have historically voted for Republicans because that was the only game in town, are now seeing the alternative in the Democratic Party, and that the alternative is much more in line with the way they believe. And they believe in a government that is going to make sure that you have sensible gun laws in the state rather than increasing the number of AR-15s that are available to people across the state of Texas. See a government that's going to spend money in providing quality public education for the kids. They're going to see they like the fact that Democrats believe that a higher education should be more accessible and that tuition should be something that people can afford when they want to go to college. They're concerned about climate change as opposed to what they see with the Republican Party. They want to have people who are worried about that and are going to do something about that. They see that these wages that are paid in the state, you know, $7.25 an hour to more workers than any other state in the country, that needs to change and that needs to increase. And so, you know, these are just simple, fundamental kitchen table issues. They're not necessarily liberal or progressive. They're just what's right. And they, what we're advocating, what we're trying to do is much more in line with what they believe in than what the Republican Party is. They see these things that that the Republicans do, like try to prevent transgender children from using bathrooms. I mean, or the way they go after a woman's right to choose. They don't like that. They don't like those positions, and they, I think, are really disgusted with the way Republicans and the president have separated children from their families. So all these things, these are just normal things that people say, this is the position that the Republican Party has taken is not right. It's not American. It's not the way we are. We'd like to see it different, and we like what the Democrats are offering now. And that's why you're seeing people come over to our side much more. It's not hard for us to get them to come over to our side. They just need to realize that our side can win. And once they see that we can win, which we showed them in 2018, then it's easier. It's more natural for them to vote for Democrats.
Beto O'Rourke, do you know if he's going to jump in the race or not for Senate?
I do not know.
I get things in my email inbox every day with Republicans trying to raise money off of the threat that Beto O'Rourke is going to run for Senate. What does that tell us?
Well, they're trying to raise money. I mean, I'm sure they're afraid of him. They would hope that he stays home this election cycle. Only Beto knows what he's going to do.
What would that do for the possibility of being able to give John Cornyn something else to do?
We have a great slate of people running right now for the United States Senate. We have, you know, state senators. We've got city council women who run in where the 6 million people are able to vote for her. We've got people who are veterans and decorated veterans that are running. We've got a great quality of candidates. That's another example of, you know, in the past where we would run around trying to find somebody to run for the U.S. Senate. I think we got something like 12 candidates right now running for the Senate, and a great set of candidates that I think any one of which, if they become the nominee, can beat Mr. Cornyn. You know, Mr. Cornyn is polling between 25 and 35% approval in the state of Texas. His approval ratings are on the as low as you can get. He's got problems. It doesn't matter which of these quality Democrats is running will get a nomination, or whether or not Mr. O'Rourke runs, you know, we feel he can be beat. He's deeply unpopular. He is the poster child of getting rid of the Affordable Care Act, or getting rid of pre-existing condition protections in the Affordable Care Act. And people are going to know that when they go out and vote in November. And I doubt that he's going to be able to survive this election cycle. He knows that as well.
Gilberto Hinojosa is the chairman of the Texas Democratic Party. Earlier, I spoke with his counterpart, Texas Republican Party Chairman James Dickey. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You can also write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. That's where you can find past Texas Matters programs to listen to, and you can find us wherever you download your podcast. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.